All right, thank you. And were y'all blessed by the worship this morning? Yeah, I mean, that was awesome. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for leading us today. Thank you, worship team. And we are so glad that you're here today. And we have been in a series called We Dare You. And we've been talking about different dares. You know, we started off a few weeks ago, we dare you to follow Jesus. And then the week after that, we talk about serving. We dare you to serve, you know, to be selfless and to give yourself to others. Last week, we challenged you, we dare you to grow in your walk with God, to grow with other believers. And this week, we're, you know, as Pastor Chris just mentioned, talk about life groups. And this is the week to kick off, and we dare you to jump in. We dare you to grow in a life group this semester, and all that information in your program. And so we dare you. Today, we dare you to be generous. We dare you to be generous. You know, Jesus, you know, he was teaching an upside-down kingdom teaching. Upside-down kingdom. In other words, he was teaching things that were not normal. You know, the culture says this, and Jesus would speak differently against the culture. And one of the things that Jesus said that was just so countercultural, he said that it was more blessed to give than to receive. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I wonder how many would agree, hey, I like to receive. I mean, how many of you say, hey, I think it's pretty awesome to receive? I mean, don't y'all agree? Don't add all spiritual to me here. All right? We love to receive gifts. All right? I mean, I love a Christmas morning and be able to open up a present with my name on it. You know, I like it when someone sends me a gift card. I mean, we love that, don't we? You know, someone sends you a cash app and you say, hey, you know, a text message. You say, hey, go to Chick-fil-A and have a Christian chicken on me. I mean, who doesn't like that? You know, how many of you have been through a drive-thru and the person paid for your coffee, you know, before you got there? You know, we like to receive. It's cool, it's fun to receive. But Jesus said that it's better to give, that we're more blessed to give than to receive. And why? Why is it more blessed to give? And the answer is because it reflects the heart of God. John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave. I love this. I've heard it before. He said, you may never be more like God when you give. You'll never be more like God when you give. God so loved the world that he gave. And here's what I know about this room. Here's what I know about the people here today. Many of you want to be generous. Many of you feel like you can't, though. You want to be, but you can't. And the reason you feel like you can't is because you believe that you don't have enough to be generous. You don't have enough to give. And the reason I know that about you is because I was like that. As a young man, I had a very limited mindset. I was living with what I've grown to know as a scarcity mindset. And so today, this is my goal. I'm putting all my cards out on the table here, putting it all out here. My goal is to build your faith. My goal is to help you to change your mindset about generosity. Because here's the reality, if you're taking notes, many of us don't have a money problem, but rather we have a mindset problem. And so my goal today is to help you see the mindset, the different mindset, and to change your mindset. God is calling every single one of us to give. Now, I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to give you a quick context of 2 Corinthians 8. And Paul, he writes this letter to the Corinthian believers. And if you don't know about Paul, he was a Jewish man. And when he got saved, God actually called him not to just take the gospel to the Jewish people, but to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were the non-Jewish people. And so he was going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, and there was some tension when he started doing that. When he said, hey, I'm going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, there was some tension because, you know, the Jewish people said, hey, Christianity belongs to us. Christianity came out of the Jewish people. And so there was this controversy. They were going back and forth. And Paul, he was like, no, I think the gospel belongs not just for the Jewish people, but for the Jews and the non-Jews, for everybody. And so there's controversy going on. And thankfully, the three big dogs, right? The three big dogs were Peter, James, and John. They were the early church leaders. And they actually gave Paul the blessing of the early church. You know, they said, hey, you go take the gospel to the Gentiles. And he said, but there's one condition. You tell the Gentiles, you know, that they also need to be generous. He said, they need to, don't forget the poor people. You know, so go after them and take care of poor people. And so Paul was like, hey, that's great. We will convert, you know, non-Jews, Gentiles as well. We'll take the gospel to them. And we'll also talk to them about this heart of generosity as well. And so Paul went to an area of churches in the Macedonia area, and went and you know, started churches there, and they became saved. People came to know Christ. The gospel was coming through Macedonia. And then he talked to them about giving generously, and he was shocked what happened. He was stunned. Paul was blown away by their generosity. And we see that because Paul talked about the Macedonians to the believers in Corinth. And so we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we see what Paul had to say about the Macedonians. He said in verse 1, and now, brothers and sisters, by the way, he's talking to believers in Christ, all right, brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, and now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in generosity. I want to give you two quick thoughts about the Macedonians. The first I want you to know is this. They were very poor, yet at the same time, they were very generous. They were very poor, yet they were very generous. And when I say they were very, very poor, they're not like some of us being poor, like, hey, I can barely afford my streaming services, my Hulu, my Netflix, my Amazon Prime. I may have to cancel Disney Plus. We're not talking about that level of poor, okay? We're talking about the Macedonians were deep, dirt poor, struggling to survive day to day. So they were very, very poor, and yet at the same time, they were very, very generous. But here's the second thing we learn about the Macedonians, is that they were enduring trials, and at the same time, they were overflowing with joy. They were going through severe persecution, suffering, very difficult time in their life, and yet they were just overflowing with joy. And out of that joy, they were generous. They lived with generous people. They were generous. They had joy. And it's interesting to me because a lot of times, whenever we go through hardship, whenever we go through, you know, times of we're lacking, you know, finances, we become depressed sometimes. People become anxious. We might be selfishly protecting whatever we have. And for the Macedonians, even though life was hard, they were generous. They were joyful. Why? Because they believed there was more blessed to give. There was happiness in giving than to receive. which raises the questions, you know, how do they give so big when they had so little? How do they do this? How do they live with this big mindset of generosity? And the answer is that they had a different mindset because they didn't have a money problem. You know, people have a money problem. It's not so much a money problem that people have. It's a mindset problem, and they just had a different mindset. They didn't see problem with money. They had an understanding of the proper mindset to have. And so today I want to talk about, real quick, two types of mindset when it comes to money. Two money mindsets, and it's two of them. The first one is the bag mindset. If you're taking notes, the bag mindset. The bag mindset believes that we don't have enough. I like to give more. You know, I like to be able to give, but I don't have enough. Some of you might be able to relate to the Old Testament prophet Haggai. Haggai chapter 1 verse 6, he said this: "You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with a hole in it." Another translation said, "You earn wages to put them in a bag with holes in it." You have a bag mindset. Your bag has holes in it. You know, no matter what comes in, it's like your bag got a hole in it. It comes out. You know, at the end of the month, there's nothing left in the bag because it's gone. In other words, I want to give more. I really do. I honestly want to, but I can't because I don't have enough because I have a bag with holes in it. And so we think that when I have more, then I'll give more. So this is the bag mindset. Here's the second mindset. It's the barn mindset. The barn mindset. The bag mindset says we don't have enough. The barn mindset says we have more than enough. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 8, it promises that if you fully obey God, here's what God does. Look at verse 8. "The Lord will send a blessing on your barns." This is the barn mindset. He said, "The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you." So it's the barn mindset that we have more than enough. And so this is how the Macedonians, the poor, suffering Macedonian lived. Even though they didn't have much, they did not live with a bag mindset. They had the barn mindset, believing we do have enough to give. We don't have to wait until later. We don't have to wait until we have more. We can actually give now. They had the barn mindset. And many of us were the opposite. In fact, this was me as a younger man. The problem is I didn't have as big of a money problem as I did a mindset problem. I had a bag mindset. I didn't have enough. I had a bag that had holes in it. And what happens when you have the bag mindset? You fall into this cycle when you have the bag mindset. I've got this image here on the screen. I'll give you a minute to write it all out. You see in the middle, God supplies. And then the first thing you do with the bag mindset is you consume. You spend. You go on Amazon, you click buy, you get it all out, right? And then you spend it all, then you lack. You don't have enough. Which leads to fear. I'm not sure how we're going to make it. You get nervous about the future. And this is the cycle that continues to happen. God gives, you spend, we consume, don't have enough, we get afraid. The cycle goes on and on and on. And this is where some of you live. You live with a bag mindset. Now, the barn mindset is different. It starts, instead of consuming first, you give first. You give first. Notice the barn mindset in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. This is the barn mindset. He said, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops. Now, let me just stop here. In the Old Testament, it was kind of like a farming metaphor with the first fruit, the first part of your harvest. And when the first fruits of your crops, you honor the Lord. Give it to him first. And when you give it to him first, when you give him the first fruits, notice what happens in verse 10. Then your barns, right? Your barn mindset, your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vat will brim over with new wine. So the first thing you do if you have the barn mindset is you give. You honor God with the very first of what he entrusts to you. And when you do that, there's a reciprocation that happens. Your barns will be overflowing. Now, giving first fruits, it's very similar to what some preachers and others would say today, what we call the word tithing. Tithing was born before the law. Tithing is in the Old Testament. Tithing is in the New Testament. Tithing is returning to God 10%. 10% of what he trusts to you. And when you give 10%, it's an act of worship. It's an act of worship to honor God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, probably the most famous verse. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, to bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, which is kind of like a barn. He said, that there may be food in my house. He said, test me in this, said the Lord. Test me in this. This is the only time where God ever gave us permission to test him. He said, test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. He said, test me. God is daring you to touch him. He's daring you. I dare you. Test me. Test me in this area. Test me in the tithing. Test me in your 10%. He is daring us to test him to bring your first and your best and for us to trust God for the rest. Now you're probably thinking, man, this is me when I first heard this. I said, that's crazy. 10%, a tithe. I mean, this is no way because I just don't have any leftovers. 10%, that's a lot because I had the bag mindset. There were holes in it. And so for me, in order to give 10% to God, you know what I had to do? I had to put my whole life, I had to rearrange, reprioritize my whole life around God. And my friend, that's the point. That is absolutely the point. We are to rearrange our life around God. Everything. Everything. Not just with your money, but with your time, your heart, your energy, your love. All of it. We are to rearrange and make God number one in all areas of your life because God wants to be first. And so, Scott, that only leaves me 90%. And I tell you what, it's funny to me because I had to find out, over time, that the funny math works. Funny math. Because funny math with God is not normal math. And so, what do you mean? God's math is this. It's so different because 90% with his blessing, this is where it gets funny, but it always works for me. 90% with God's blessing goes so much further than 100% without. It doesn't add up, but it works. I've learned that. You see, this is a different mindset. Way different. You know why? Because it takes faith. You got to trust God. You have to trust God. Now, I admit, there are Christians, there are believers, Christian theologians who I respect. They don't believe the tithe is a New Testament principle. And I kind of can go with that as long as that's a starting point. Because when you see in the New Testament churches, they gave more than that. It was just kind of like a starting point. And so for me, I just practiced this. I have believed this for years. I have done this for years. Because I believe that Jesus affirmed the tithe. I'll show you very clearly what this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. He's talking to the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens. Right? He said, you guys do a good job on the tithing part, but then he said, but you ignore everything else. So you guys are missing the point on everything else. You ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. But then notice what Jesus said next. Jesus said, you should tithe. Yes. But don't neglect the more important things. In other words, if Jesus said that you should tithe, then I'm probably going to tithe. That's where I'm at. And if Jesus said you should tithe, then you can do your own research. You can figure that out. But trust me, I want you to. I want you to go out and study this on your own if you feel like you need to. But personally, this is where I'm at. I believe that God is calling us to tithe, that we should give 10% back to the Lord. It's giving God our first, giving God our best, not our leftovers. We trust him to bless the rest. And when we do that, something happens. This is what happens when you start tithing. Tithing, it breaks the cycle of scarcity and creates a new cycle of supply. When you start tithing, when you start to change your mindset, it breaks that cycle of we consume, we lack, and we fear. It breaks that cycle. It changes to this cycle. It changes to the cycle of we give, because that's what we do first. We give God our first and our best. Which leads to the multiplication that God does in our lives, which will increase our faith. And this is just a cycle that just keep going and going and going. This is what I've learned over my life in the last 25, 30 years. I have learned that I cannot outgive God. I tried. I tried to go around and around and around. It's okay, God. I'm going to try to outgive you. I just can't. You know, and we started with our tithe, and we've grown on that. At first, I tithe off the net. That's after taxes. You know, and then I said, okay, God, I'm gonna up my game a little bit. I'm gonna start tithing off the gross before taxes. You know, the government takes their 20% or 15%, whatever that is, right? But that's okay. I'm gonna take the tithe off of that. And then I start tithing off the other benefits I didn't even get. Right? I just tithe more. And then with a little increase in the, you know, when the Lord had blessed me with pay increase, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give more. I'm going to give more. And I tried to outgive God. And when God says, God, I want you to give this, I said, okay. I don't know how I'm going to afford to do it, but God, I trust you. I do it. Now, I love our staff. Our staff, you know, our staff here at Lake Point, they're expected to tithe. And as far as I know, they do. As far as I know, they do. I was having a conversation the past week with a few of my staff members. And the heart to give was incredible. One of the questions was asked, and said, hey, if we had $1 million, what would we do with that? If someone blessed you with $1 million. And every person in that table said, hey, in different ways. They would find ways to give it to God. More to God, less for themselves. And I love that, because that's the heart. We give, God multiplies, He builds our faith. And He said, well, God, you know, when I get more money, I'll be more generous. I've had people say that. I'll be more generous when I get more. Right now, I just can't, you know, tight, because he's got the bag mindset, the buying mindset. Doesn't speak that way. Can I say this? More money won't make you more generous. In fact, they'll make you more of what you already are. I want you to let that sink in for just a minute. More money won't make you more generous. In other words, if you're generous now with little, you'll be generous later with much. If you're a tightwad now with little, you'll be a tightwad later with much. Man, that's awfully quiet in here, Tom. I don't know if my hearing is not working. It's, oh, man, Scott. Hey, listen. Just when you think you're going to do it later, that bag mindset. More money doesn't change heart. It exposes what's already in your heart. So if you're not generous now, chances are you won't be generous later. Now here's something else, kind of crazy. Some of us, maybe not, maybe some of us here, you have the barn blessings. God has blessed you with so much, but you have the bag mindset when it comes to giving. It's crazy, but studies have shown that the wealthier, not in all cases, but a lot of times, the wealthier the person get, the smaller the amount they give. The smaller the percentage of what they give away. And so my question for you, what kind of mindset do you have? Do you have the bag, or do you have the barn mindset? We'll wrap this up here. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know, Paul, he's telling the Corinthians, he said, man, you guys got to meet these Macedonians. They are crazy in the way that they're generous. They are so generous. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse number 3. He said, for I testify, Paul's saying, I'm testifying that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. In other words, Paul didn't twist their arm to give. You know, he wasn't there, you know, trying to inspire generosity. They did this on their own. He said in verse 4, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in their service to the Lord's people. They were like begging to give. They were like, hey, is it offering time? Let's make sure we pass the offering bucket twice. You know, we want to give, and we want to give some more. And Paul said in verse 5, and they exceeded our expectations. He said, it blew my mind. And notice what they did, the Macedonians. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. They had to change the mindset. They had to rearrange, reprioritize their life, their values, their possessions, their heart, their time. They had to rearrange their entire life around God. It said they gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God, also to us. They begged Paul. They pleaded. It wasn't just a plead. It was urgent pleading. Hey, can we give? We know we don't have to, but we want to. We want to give. We want to. Why? Because they had the barn mindset. Their faith grew through the cycle of the barn mindset. They understood the truth about God's provision in their life. Look at the next chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Paul said, God would generously provide all you need. By the way, what do you need? Joy? You need joy? He'll give it to you. Peace? He'll give it to you. Financial provision? He's Jehovah Jireh. He is your provider. He is our provider. He'll give you everything that you need. And watch this, watch this. It says, then you always have everything you need. And plenty left over, multiplication. Your faith is growing. Left over to share with others. It's going back into the cycle of giving. God multiplying. Building faith over and over and over again. If you have the bag mindset, a bag that got holes in it. If you have this mindset that I have never enough, it's never enough, it's never enough. You're always going to be waiting. And you're going to be missing out. But when you have the barn mindset, I put God first. I want to give. I want to give. It's an honor to give to God. To trust Him with my first and watch Him bless the rest. When you do that, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's not going to happen. I want to be clear on this. I'm not going to tell you that when you give, that you always get more. That's not what I'm going to tell you today. You know, if you give 100, you're going to get 1,000. I'm not telling you that. I'm not saying that God can't do that, but I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But what I am going to tell you is this, that when you honor God with the tithe, He will prove Himself faithful. Faithful. Yeah, sometimes you'll get a financial increase. But most of the time, it's way more than money. It's friendship, community, sense of purpose, blessed, unified marriage, children that are serving the Lord faithfully. It's being part of a great community. The local church, working together to help people take their next step with God. So where are you at today? How do you respond? How do you respond to this message? How do you respond to the dare to be generous? In your handout note, there's a takeaway. You see on the screen, God is calling me to fill in the blank. And that's for you to fill in. How is the Holy Spirit talking to you today? Maybe God is calling you for that blank. Maybe God is saying to change your mindset. Maybe God is calling you to change your mindset. I've got the bag mindset. I need to change it to a barn mindset. Maybe God is calling you to start giving. Maybe you've never given in any significant way before. So I want to challenge you to start. And I don't just mean to throw your lunch money in the offering box on your way out. I'm talking about, you know, making this a monthly habit or a weekly habit, whatever that is. That's why my family, we do it as a recurring gift every month. We make this happen. We get paid on the first. That first Sunday, we give our offering to the Lord. There's something else you could write down. Maybe God is calling you to start tithing. Maybe that's where you're at. You say, I'm already a giver, but I need to start tithing. I need to rearrange my life, my purpose, my everything, my values around God, including my money. Start tithing. Maybe you're here this morning, you're already a tither, but God has increased your barn for you to give more. You might put in that blank, hey, God, you're calling me to give more. To give more. Whatever it is, whatever God is calling you, maybe it's something else, maybe it's something I didn't say, but whatever it is, want you to mentally put that down in your blank. And then I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to dare you to act on it. I dare you to act on it. And so right now, I'm going to close your eyes. I'm going to pray. We're going to pray over this right now. What did God put in your heart in response to that question? Whatever that is. Change mindset, doubt given, tithing. Whatever that is. Will you now say right now, will you say with your head bowed, will you say, God, with your help, I'm going to do this. I want to change. I want to do this. I want to change my mindset. I want to start giving. Whatever that is, God, with your help, I want to do this. Perhaps you're not exactly sure at the moment. That's okay. Maybe you need to go home and you talk to your spouse. Maybe you need to look online, look at your finances, whatever that you got to do. If that's the case, that's fine. If that's where you're at, will you say to God, God, I promise you that I'm going to look into this. I'm going to talk about it later today. I'm going to look it over. God, will you lead me by your Spirit to do that? God, I make a covenant with you that when you reveal it to me, whatever that is, God, that you give me the strength and the power to obey. God, help me to be generous. Lord, help us here today to be generous, to change our mindset from the bag mindset to a barn mindset. To trust you so that our faith can grow more abundantly. Help us today, help us this week to make decisions. Help us to be more generous. In Jesus' name, amen.